We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the Radio Network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
There's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Something terrible is going to happen.
Donald Trump weighing in on abortion, saying it should be left up to the states.
The states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land.
He talked about compromising, having a heart for other people, but also we have to win.
Abortion is murder. Ring the Republicans' chances in 2024. So they've developed a perfect new stance on abortion. What is it? Well, I've been watching Fox News for 1,864 hours straight, and I'm ready to Fox-plain how Donald Trump and the GOP have learned to speak sincerely and compassionately about this stupid ladies' issue. Republicans have principles that they will not compromise on, unless it's an election year. I want power. Whichever principles give me power, I choose those. So Republicans are learning to moderate, because at the end of the day, women can vote, unfortunately. Luckily, Republicans are led by the perfect spokesman on all issues, lady and vaginal, Donald Trump. Trump ended Roe v. Wade. That solved the abortion issue nationwide, except in like 40 to 45 states. And Trump is genius to send it back to the states. When has a states' rights issue ever led to anything bad in America? Donald Trump is pro-life, but he's pro-choice for states. He's pro-ch-life.
I remind those folks that are passionately pro-life, and I love those folks. If we continue to lose elections, we do not get this issue right, we will lose elections.
We love our babies, and I love being a mother, but what's most important? Republicans taking over.
His core argument is about winning, and if you're losing elections, are you willing, really winning the life issue?
We must protect the sacred life of Donald Trump's reelection campaign.
Hush, little campaign, don't say a word. Trump is gonna win you a second term.
Pro-choice with pro-choice life. Pro-life
with life choice. No.
If you had to travel to another state to get an abortion, it's not the worst thing in the world. Buying a bus ticket to go somewhere to get it is not the worst thing in the world.
It's really probably more Democrat that wants abortion literally when it's coming, when the child is coming out of the birth canal.
It looks like the majority of Americans don't like the rape and incest thing.
So listen, Republicans must learn to be very sensitive when talking about the rape and incest doohickey, blah, blah, blah. And if your state bans abortion, who cares? Get on a bus.
All aboard.
Don't be fooled. Democrats are going to spread all sorts of misinformation when it comes to the Republican stance on abortion. And don't forget, Democrats want legal abortions up to the 23rd trimester.
I'm very pro-choice.
I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of Roe v. Wade.
You said that you were pro-choice. Now you've changed, right?
Not strongly, but I am pro-life.
Donald Trump's true stance on abortion should be a decision between Donald Trump, his brain, and any woman whose abortions he might have paid for. Trump is pro-life with ads, $9.99 a month for 9 months. No backseat.
67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate. We cannot consecrate. We cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
This weekend, our former president and illustrious historian, Donald J. Trump, spoke near one of America's most hallowed battlefields. And if you thought Lincoln consecrated Gettysburg with his soaring rhetoric, well, buckle up.
You have to hand it to this guy. On the weekend before his unprecedented criminal trial begins, he somehow manages to overshadow it with this broken-brained interpretation of what happened at Gettysburg during the Civil War. Buckle up, everybody. This is an all-timer.
Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was, the Battle of Gettysburg, what an unbelievable, I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great general. And they were fighting. Never fight uphill, me boys. But it was too late.
No, I don't know that. That was easily the funniest seizure I've ever seen. He always sounds like a kid who forgot he had an oral report due on that day.
That is plagiarized almost directly from my seventh grade book report, Gettysburg Wow. I did not. It was vicious and horrible and beautiful. Is he talking about a Civil War battle or a horse giving birth? Like, it was bloody, but it's life.
Gettysburg, wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch.
What a stirring orator. I look forward to Ken Burns' updated documentary.
My dearest Martha, wow. Today we fought at Gettysburg. It was so much and so interesting and so vicious and so beautiful in so many ways, but all worth it to protect every person, woman, man, camera, and future TV.
Now, obviously, I'm not a Civil War buff, like... But unlike me, he even knows all the famous quotes.
I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great general. And they were fighting. Never fight uphill, me boys.
It is true. The North did have the higher ground, but I'm pretty sure that Robert E. Lee was not a leprechaun. Ah, I never fight uphill, me boys. That's not how to take back the North's pot of gold. You can't be fighting uphill, me boys.
Robert E. Lee said never fight uphill, me boys? Was he a leprechaun? Never fight uphill, me boys. And do buy me a me pillow while you're at it.
Never fight uphill, me boys.
Me boys? Does he think Robert E. Lee was a pirate? Arr! Never fight uphill, me boys, or you'll walk the plank straight into Davy Jones' plantation. Now grab your cutlass and load the cannons, for we have to defeat the Union scallywags and their leader, Captain Peg Leg Lincoln. Arr!
More than 50,000 Americans killed each other over 3 days at Gettysburg, so I'm not exactly sure what he meant by beautiful, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt and let's go through his actual words. Now, we have a transcript of what our former president said, and I'll just go through it. Here we go. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was. The Battle of Gettysburg, what an unbelievable. I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country, Gettysburg. Wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that, no longer in favor? Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great general, and they were fighting. Never fight uphill, me boys. But it was too late. When you see it written out, it makes a lot more sense. I'm just gonna give that a grade. An F plus, right? I mean, that was something special. That was like, get that man on Drunk History, will you? And by the way, Schnecksville, where he's speaking, is 2.5 hours away from Gettysburg. He wasn't even at Gettysburg when he's, but don't tell Schnecky Green he wasn't there. He's all over the place.
Gettysburg, wow.
Also, minor point, but I'm pretty sure Robert E. Lee would not have told them never fight uphill, since he's the one who told them to f-ing fight uphill. He wasn't like, there they go up the hill. Oh, I'm gonna be so mad if they do that. They go up the hill. It was Longstreet actually told them don't go up the hill. But Robert E. Lee said, anybody's gonna do what they want. Although to be fair to former President Donald Trump, he does have a lot on his mind right now.
Now to breaking news, the first ever criminal trial involving a former president will soon get underway.
Oh, my God, Donald, don't run up that hill, me boy. Stay down. Stay down the hill, me boy. Stay down. Yes, after years of anticipation, the first criminal trial of a former president has begun. And by all accounts, it is absolutely riveting.
40 minutes ago, you wrote an observation that I was very surprised. Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps dropping down and his mouth goes slack. Tell us about that.
Well, Jake, he appeared to be asleep.
Maggie Haberman of the New York Times let us in on this little gem. Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps dropping down and his mouth goes slack. followed by, Trump has apparently jolted back awake, noticing the notes his lawyer passed him several minutes ago. If Biden is Sleepy Joe, I guess that makes you Dozo the Clown, huh? I mean, can you imagine... Imagine if Joe Biden fell asleep in the court on the first day of his trial. Trump would be calling him Comatose Joe. Fox News would be talking about this until Christmas, but not old Donnie Napleseed. He, multiple reports said Trump's head drooped until his chin hit his chest, which, I don't know, maybe he was just following the price of his Truth Social stock, but, either way, it's nice to see even Donald Trump is exhausted by Donald Trump.
What? Oh, my God, I was having the most terrible dream that I had to read something. Oh, no, the dream was real. But if it's real, then where's the hamburger with boobs?
Imagine committing so many crimes, you get bored at your own trial. Move on to the good stuff.
13 minutes after his trial started today, he posted not one, not two, but three separate videos boasting about winning his golf tournament at his country club. Unhappy Gilmore did not qualify for the Masters this weekend. He was cheated out of that, too.
In case you've lost track, this is the trial where Trump allegedly paid hush money to an adult film star that he slept with and then allegedly falsified business records to cover it up, or as Trump would put it.
This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here.
Well, it's true. Trump is always very proud to be part of any assault on America. Look, even if... Oh. Yes, Mr. Stewart, we agree.
And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country.
He's proud to be there for the assault on our country. He's proud to be at his trial for paying off a porn star. Who wouldn't be proud of that? Gosh, I only wish his parents were alive to see it. God rest their souls. But one thing he is right about is when he says there's never been anything like this, because Donald Trump is the first former U.S. president to be tried for paying hush money to an adult film star who said his penis is shaped like a mushroom. Lincoln never did that. The trial is expected to last 6 weeks or until the courtroom sketch artist runs out of orange, whichever comes first. Because it's a criminal trial, Trump's required to be in court every day, 4 days a week from 9:30 to 4:30. For 6 weeks, he has to sit quietly the whole time. That alone is going to drive him insane. It's like making an 8-year-old go to 6 weeks of church. So, of course, he's trying every way he can to get out of it. His son, Barron, is graduating high school on May 17th. He asked the judge to excuse him so he can go to that. And even though the judge hasn't ruled on it yet, Trump is already whining about it as if he did.
As you know, my son is graduating from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. He's very proud of the fact that he did so well. And I was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial.
Yeah, it's a criminal trial. He doesn't seem to understand. This scammer judge won't even let me go to graduation for the son who was 4 months old when I cheated on his mother with the porn star I'm accused of paying off. It's very crazy that on the Monday after OJ dies, the Donald Trump trial begins. It's almost like that's how it had to be. Like they couldn't exist simultaneously. The trial began at 10 a.m. with the court clerk announcing the people of the state of New York versus Donald J. Trump, followed by 15 minutes of thunderous applause.
The official name of the trial is the people of the state of New York versus Donald Trump. The people of the state of New York, that's us. This morning, Donald Trump walked into the courthouse to face justice for his alleged illegal hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. This is an historic moment we will all tell our grandchildren about very carefully. There was a president who met a special actress for, let's say, grown-up movies at a celebrity golf event and invited her over for a play date because his wife was too busy to play because she had a new baby. And the actress gave him a friendly pat on the bottom with a magazine about money with his photo on it. And then they shared a special unprotected hug. Then he gave her a present so she wouldn't tell anyone that his bathing suit area was shaped like Toad from Mario Kart. What else? And he was leading in the polls. Before the jury selection even started this morning, prosecutors argued that Trump had violated his gag order and asked Judge Merchan to hold Trump in contempt for criticizing potential witnesses in social media posts, asking him to fine Trump $3,000. Only $3K? But I guess that's on brand for Trump. KKK. This trial, what? The thing is, this trial could go on for months, but Trump still has a presidential campaign to run. His team claims that even on some court days, Trump will hold both in-person and virtual events. That's going to make for some awkward trial moments. Your Honor, can we wrap this up, please? Because I am late for a rally where I call for your execution. If it please the court.
Today was devoted to jury selection. They started with a pool of 500 jurors. They brought in the first 96, and right off the bat, half of them said they couldn't be fair and impartial, so they were dismissed. And so then they asked those who were left if any of them had read any of Trump's books, and none of them had. Trump said he intends to testify in this case, which means he will absolutely not testify in this case. If convicted, he could face 4 years in prison, which is perfect. As soon as he gets out, he could run again. You know, we could do this all over.
Look, even if the prosecution's a bit of a stretch, it's not persecution. The guy's not Nelson Mandela or Jesus.
I don't mind being Nelson Mandela because I'm doing it for a reason.
Trump also shared two articles that compared him to Jesus Christ. One was titled, quote, "The Crucifixion of Donald Trump."
I don't let him crucify me, boy. We had full team coverage down at the courthouse in Lower Manhattan today, here with an update on which martyr Trump more resembles, Jesus or Nelson Mandela. It's Ronnie Chang and Desi Leidick. I'm going to start with Ronnie Chang, Jesus or Mandela?
Clearly Mandela, all right? Both are two heroes unjustly persecuted by a corrupt legal system. And as Mandela often said, and I quote, "This is a witch hunt hoax. I've never even met Horseface."
I totally disagree, Ronnie. Jesus Christ. He's obviously Jesus Christ. It's right there in the New Testament, or in its sequel, The Art of the Deal. Chapter 10, verse 8, "And lo, he evicted the rent-controlled tenants, and it was good, and tremendous, and vicious, and beautiful." Jesus, wow.
All right. Hang on. Just think about this for a second, okay? Trump and Mandela, they both had three wives. Yeah? Jesus didn't even have a serious girlfriend, okay? The guy had no riz.
I don't think riz is an appropriate. Anyway, Mandela was in prison for 27 years, Ronnie, so it's...
Yes, but if you add up all the prison sentences Trump got for other people from January 6th and his campaign and his business, it's way more than 27 years, okay? Trump is like 10 Nelson Mandelas.
No, Ronnie, Trump is Jesus. They both have a ton of buildings with their names on them, filled with portraits of themselves to be worshipped. And they both sold sneakers, gold sneakers.
Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt. Oh. This is ridiculous, okay?
Josh Johnson, everybody. Also down on the floor.
Trump is not Mandela or Jesus, okay? We all know that Donald Trump is OJ.
I don't think that. Did you say OJ?
Yeah, John. OJ, Trump. They were both iconic celebrities in the 80s. Plus, Donald J. Trump. Is the J for juice? Probably. But most importantly, their obvious guilt didn't deter their loyal fans who either think they're innocent or don't care they're guilty.
Jesus had loyal fans.
Not like this.
So if he's OJ, you're saying that whether or not Trump slept with Stormy Daniels or paid Stormy Daniels hush money, it's not gonna matter. He's walking away a free man.
Yes. And personally, I'm excited for the moment in the trial when Trump will drop his pants and say, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit!
Gettysburg, wow.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.